Hey, Powerhouse, it's time to transform your legal career inside Powerhouse Elite. Created for the ambitious, forward-thinking female lawyer who is craving meaningful connections, career advancement, and empowering other women in the law. So let me tell you all the incredible value you'll be getting inside Powerhouse Elite, a luxury retreat at the Miraval Resort in Austin, Texas, September 27th through the 30th, monthly one-on-one coaching calls with me to specifically work on your goals and where you're going, access to a sisterhood like no other, connecting a network of inspiring, supportive women who share your values, dreams, and ambition. And also inside the Elite membership, you get a coaching call once a month with all of these incredible women in the Powerhouse Lawyers community. So if you're ready for more this year, join Powerhouse Elite. Grab one of the few remaining spots today by clicking the link in the show notes. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to transform your life and career with Powerhouse Elite.
If somebody's thinking about going out on their own, building community and having those relationships, because again, you're not going to have the answer to so many things, but you can find it if you have community and you know who to ask. And you know, those people want to see you succeed.
You are more than a lawyer. You are a powerhouse. Welcome to Powerhouse Lawyers. I'm your host, Erin Gerner, a former lawyer, wife, mom, entrepreneur, and coach. And I'm here to show you what's possible. So if you're ready, let's go. Hi, powerhouses. Welcome back to the show. So happy you guys are here. Our next guest is amazing. Her story is incredible. But the thing that I took away from her interview and that I just want to reiterate before we even get started is the importance of celebrating small wins. This woman practiced law for a number of years and decided to go out on her own. And many of you listening to this podcast either are in that transition, have thought about making that transition. Maybe you've done it, it didn't succeed, or maybe you're in it right now. It's not exactly what you thought, or maybe you're currently sitting in a law firm job thinking like, yeah, I could totally go hang my shingle and do this myself. The piece of advice that she gave and the thing that resonated with me the most is the importance of, if you are going to go down this path, is shifting your mentality away from having to hit home run victories every single day and challenge yourself to appreciate and to celebrate the small wins every single day. Because if you do make the transition out on your own, that's what it means. You're on your own. So there's going to be a lot you don't know, questions you have to ask, things you've never done before, things that seem really scary. It's going to test the trust that you have in yourself. It's going to trigger imposter syndrome. It's going to maybe make you feel not as competent or confident as a lawyer. So what can you do mentally to be able to combat that every single day? That is celebrating the small wins. That is that you got up and that you showed up, which is 80% of the freaking battle anyway. You got up, you put your clothes on, you called the client, you got the client, you wrote the email, you made the post, you wrote the motion, whatever it is, it's celebrating that and being grateful and thankful. That builds your confidence muscle faster than winning five big cases in a row. You've got to celebrate the small wins along the way to be able to lay the foundation of confidence, to be able to welcome in more growth, to be able to expand to the firm and the firm owner that you want to be. So I cannot wait for you guys to hear our next guest. She's so awesome. I hope you enjoy her story and all the tips and value she has to offer. Hey, powerhouses, welcome back to the show. I have such a fun special guest here with me today. My friend Laura Ramos James is in the house, and I am so excited to chat with her. this woman has probably been awarded every accolade in the state of Texas, but I'm just going to highlight a few because we just need to shout her out. And everyone really does need to hear their bio read to them just as a reminder of what a powerhouse they are. But anyway, Laura is the winner of the 2023 Austin Women's Magazine Women's Way Award and the Advocacy and Activism Award by the Latina Foundation, making her, like I said, one of the most recognized lawyers in Texas. She's an Austin entrepreneur who has grown her business throughout the state, and she also supports disadvantaged communities in Austin for several years. Her personal injury law firm, the Ramos James Law Firm, is headquartered in Austin. She was born and raised in Mexico and came to the United States knowing very little English, but she was a personal injury victim herself and had a dream of always being able to serve the people that she actually was, right, that she had been impacted by as being a victim herself. And so that's the heart of her firm. She founded her firm in 2018. She's also the mom to two little girls. She has received some of the highest recognitions in her industry, being named Rising Star by Super Lawyers Organization 5 years in a row. And recently in January 2024, she was celebrated by Austin Women's Magazine, again, being named a change maker in their inaugural change maker list, among other incredible women implementing positive change in the city of Austin. Laura, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh my gosh. Likewise. So take us back to the beginning. As you were not born in the States, you came to the States knowing very little English. Tell us about this journey of you coming to the States and then, you know, going after your higher education, ultimately becoming a lawyer and now law firm owner.
Yeah, it was very challenging, but, you know, I wanted to be a lawyer ever since I can remember. And I actually, you know, grew up in Mexico, applied to go to law school in Mexico City. And I was, you know, I was ready until I moved here. And then I realized that actually every perception that I had of, you know, courtrooms and litigation and getting justice, all of that came from an understanding of how things are done in the U.S. and not in Mexico. So once I was here, you know, I'm a big believer in jury trials. So, and that's what I wanted to do at the time in Mexico. That was an option. And there was, and still is a lot of corruption. So I decided that the best way to, accomplish what I wanted to was to stay here. So then, I stayed here. I was an exchange student. I learned English with an accent that probably will never go away. And then went to college in San Antonio, went to law school at Baylor. And, you know, I've been in Texas the entire time. It's not that far from home. So it works out to, you know, see my family relatively often. And yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, that's amazing. So did you, obviously, I'd say obviously, because I'm not really sure the answer to this question. Don't you love my language? So you haven't always been out on your own, though, correct? Did you tell us about the baby stages of your legal career and what that looked like?
Yeah, so I did know I always wanted to be in court and a litigator, trial lawyer, all that stuff. And that had me start my career. I couldn't be a prosecutor, even though that's part of the thing that really interested me, because I had a student visa and I needed a work visa. The government wasn't going to sponsor that. So I ended up, you know, getting creative and figuring out, you know, what's the next best thing. And I found this boutique litigation firm in South Texas, and I interviewed. And they're like, oh, you want to go to trial? You want to be in court? Well, there's plenty of that. If that's what you want, just be here in the middle of nowhere. We'll take your trial. That's okay. So I did that, but it was insurance defense. And, you know, as life would have it, of course, I'm a personal injury victim or, you know, survivor. And I actually got to see the other side of things and, you know, defend people who are accused of causing harm and work for insurance companies. And of course, learn all the strategies and everything that goes behind defending cases like that. But I did have a moment where I had a million moments, but one important one was I was deposing a widow and she had lost her husband in a terrible accident. And my job was, you know, my supervising attorney was instructing me that really what I wanted to get is the testimony that, you know, needed to come out was the widow had moved on with her life and she was at peace with what happened and she was perfectly fine. And of course she wasn't. And, you know, I actually, like, it was very hard not to tear up during the deposition. And I mean, I just couldn't do it anymore. I mean, that was the aha moment of like, you know what, I've learned what I needed to learn. I got my trial, my litigation skills, but I really, I mean, I belong across, you know, across the other side with the victims or with the injured people. So that's when I decided to leave South Texas, move to Austin. I had actually an intern and clerk during law school here. So I always loved the city. I came back and I worked for two personal injury law firms. I learned so much. But the most important thing I learned was what I didn't want and what didn't align with me. It really what was missing, thanks to my husband who was, you know, asking the right questions. So, after working in the firms were completely different. One was a high volume personal injury law firm. One was a small firm that took very large, very significant, you know, wrongful death and catastrophic injury cases. But just completely different types of practices and still not, I wasn't being, you know, I wasn't feeling fulfilled professionally. So then I left and I started my own firm going on 6 years now. And that's what's going on right now.
So tell us what that process looked like. I love that you mentioned by process of elimination, because I think so many people get caught up in what's my purpose? What do I really want? Where am I going? And there are all these questions and they get tripped up by like, maybe they don't quite know the answer, but it's always easier to say, what is not working? What do I not like? And what do I not want? It then reveals what actually you do want. So talk to us about that process of elimination.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't intentional. I wish I could say, you know, I just had this, you know, I was masterminding my future. But no, I was, you know, I knew certain things that I liked. But as a lot of people say, you know, there are so many things you don't learn in law school. So I didn't learn the actual, the daily routine or interactions between, you know, between the boss and the employee. Or, work environments, work culture, things like that. So although I knew, you know, that being in trial, doing litigation, helping injured people little by little, that started to take shape. What, you know, certain things that I had to experience myself, you know, walk my path to then see, like, you know, this is just not, it's not leading to happiness. And I couldn't figure out why, because, you know, I've spent years studying what I want to do. I have left my home country and my family to be here and pursue what I want to do. And why am I still not happy? And like, I have everything, I have help. I'm so grateful. And the reality is, I just didn't know what was missing until I had those experiences of elimination, like this, I don't like. And then, you know, my husband, is the type of person that he's not going to tell you what to do, but he's going to ask questions and he asks the right questions of, you know, what do you like? Like what makes you happy about that job? You know, what are the things that you do enjoy? And, you know, what would make you like super excited to wake up in the morning and things like that? And, you know, little by little, I guess the idea started becoming more clear that, you know, it was just having my own firm. And I was always, I guess I had like the entrepreneurial desire somewhere in me, but I couldn't quite figure out, you know, what it was or what it looked like. And so finally, when I, you know, when that all clicked, that's, you know, that's when I decided to leave the firm and the firm I was at and then start my own and never look back.
I love it. Well, and what a gift that you have a husband that asks great questions, because I say all the time, the quality of your life is a direct reflection of the questions that you ask of yourself. So, you know, what a gift that you have a husband who is calling you forward in that moment, right? When you really, sometimes we don't like you said, we don't need people to tell us what we need to do, right? Like I don't need you to tell me what to do. I really need to let me talk and for you to be asking me the questions that are going to draw out the answers that are going to lead me down the path that I actually want to go. So what a gift. Kudos to him. We'll just give him like a little slow golf clap. Cheers to him. I love him. So, okay. That sounds amazing. Like we're going to go out on our own, you doing the thing. I know that's not easy, right? Like that's not an easy thing. So talk to our audience about what that transition actually looked like in reality.
Well, it is like, oh, you're bringing back some memories. let me have a sip of my coffee. So it was incredibly hard. I do remember that towards the beginning, somebody mentioned, you're going to have your own firm, you're going to be your own boss, you're going to kill it, all that stuff, you're going to be doing what you like and your passion. But they did give me the advice that I should still try to keep some sort of schedule or some sort of discipline. And that has been, one of the most incredible pieces of advice, because I think it would have been so easy to get derailed by things or distracted. And I still did. I mean, I got distracted by things that maybe didn't matter that much. But at the time, I was like, oh my God, the logo is the most important thing that you could possibly create, and or like your slogan, your mission statement. So anyhow, I got that advice. I took it and it was so helpful, but the road was, completely paved with, blood, sweat, and tears, like they say. I mean, it didn't look like, we have a boutique law firm, and it's about 13 of us now, but, it was my laptop, myself, no office, no employees, nothing fancy. Then this is before the pandemic, and I didn't have, paper files because I couldn't afford where to store them. So I had to figure out like how to do without paper files, and became, virtual and electronic and all that stuff. But it, back then it wasn't, I know it existed in some places, but it wasn't like widely available. And it just figuring it out and getting people to trust me and maybe myself, yep. Me to trust myself was a big challenge, because I didn't know, and many times didn't think I could do it. So that's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah. So what were you telling yourself? Because the vision's still there, right? On those days where we even want to quit. And I think that's the really important part for people to hear and to remember about this journey, if they choose to go this direction, that yes, it is paved with blood, sweat, and tears, right? But it's also paved with a vision that never dims, right? Like when we're working towards our vision, our heart-centered goals, maybe it doesn't make it quote unquote easier to get up in the morning, but it makes it worth getting up in the morning every single time. So what were those mindset shifts that you had to make in order to keep going one step at a time?
Wow. What a great question. I don't know if this is the right answer, but I'll tell you that I thankfully, because this was really what I was meant to be doing, I had daily reminders of, yes, this is it. It's like I've worked 12 hours, but it hasn't felt like work. Like I was signing up a client. I was, I was doing it all. I was the after hours phone line, and I was going to the post office, and I was drafting a motion, going to court, networking, all these things. But I'm like, but this is exactly what I wanted to be doing. So it was so rewarding. It was hard. And of course, there was heartbreak. But I guess part of the mind shift was, was ingrained in that it was what I wanted to do it on my own terms, at my own pace, to not feel discounted, unappreciated, undervalued, supervised, like micromanaged, like those types of things. I could have worked 1 hour and I felt overworked while doing it, my own way, then, forget it. It's like, I've never stopped. So.
Hey, powerhouse. I just want to let you know that I see you. You have multiple to-do lists. You never feel like you're crossing anything off. Overwhelm is constantly swimming in your head. I absolutely relate.
and I see you, and I'm here to help you regain your sanity. Introducing the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done. You guys, this is a game-changing ebook that is about to revolutionize the way you tackle your tasks. It's not your typical productivity guide. None of us have time for that. But it's a revolutionary approach that I've perfected over time that is going to actually help you break free from overwhelm and reclaim your powerhouse status so you can actually get shit done. So what are you waiting for? Say hello to a more organized and focused you. Grab your copy of the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done today by clicking on the link in the show notes or go directly to erin-gerner.com to grab your copy.
I think that that's a really important thing and really, really vital to point out. It is just when you're taking one step at a time and you do have a big vision, it's difficult. And I think especially as lawyers, as overachievers, to appreciate those small things that you were talking about, to celebrate those small wins of, I drove to the courthouse and did this. I am the client intake person, right? Because this is my firm. And I just went and argued that motion because I am the lawyer for my firm, right? It's like, I'm not for anybody else. It's setting down these big home runs that we think we have to be hitting every single day. Oftentimes I'll ask my clients or ask, you know, other lawyers, what's a win for today? And I get so many blank stares of like, well, I didn't do anything major today. And I was like, well, I'm not asking you if you went to the Supreme Court and argued your motion today. I'm simply asking, like, did you make it through today? Did your kids get to school on time? That's a freaking win. Do you know what I mean? Did you get that motion filed on time? That's a freaking win, right? Like, we're not appreciating those small steps. And by you being in those small wins and by you doing that over time, you're building your confidence muscle, your trust muscle in yourself. So then your capacity for growth grows because you've grown this to an 8-figure law firm in 3 years. And that's not an accident.
Yeah. And you know, I can't tell you how critical it is what you mentioned, because I think it's so intimidating sometimes when people want to leave traditional law firm environments, because you have the steady and nice paycheck. And, you know, you have the prestige and whatever else comes with that type of job. And it's so intimidating to think of like creating your own thing, you know, and maybe you want it to be this big prestigious law firm and oh my goodness, how are you even going to do it? But that's exactly right. Small wins every day. I mean, just literally getting dressed and, you know, show up. That's like 80%, like they say. I mean, there's a reason why that saying's so popular. I mean, because it is true.
It really is. And that's really incredible that by you just deciding to show up every day and celebrate the small wins, that you've been able to create the law firm that you dreamt about as a little kid, getting to, you know, advocate for the people that you really want to advocate. And I think that it's amazing that you're also a huge advocate for, you know, the Spanish speaking community, especially in Texas. Like, you guys are, you know, your law firm is serving them in a unique way that many other people can't. That's amazing. So I want to ask you about this, because when we talked the last time, we were talking about your young kids. So this has been a transition for you. In 2018, when you started this firm, did you have children? You did not have children yet. Yeah, no?
I didn't have children. I just had two rescue dogs, but no kiddos.
So talk to me about becoming a mom in this process and what that has looked like, because I know that that is a whole nother layer of, right, of Laura, right? Like, the Laura who was law firm owner pre-kids is now a completely different law firm owner post-kids. So talk to me about that transition.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Becoming a mom has been the most transformative experience of my life. It, you know, if before I did things, you know, for personal fulfillment and, you know, the greater good and all that stuff, I mean, now it has taken a whole different meaning, because, you know, you're also a mom to two girls. So they see you and they want to be you, and they, you know, they mock everything you do and they imitate. And, you know, it really, it's like, well, I don't want them to see me doing something good. I want them to see me doing something great. I want them to be so proud, and that they're like, this is, you know, this is a person who found their passion. What is my passion? Because in me, I guess, finding my calling, I truly feel happy, and I want them to have that for themselves. I don't want them to be lawyers if that's not what they want. I don't want them to be, you know, ballerinas. Like, just do what makes you happy. And I just want them to see me doing what makes me happy.
I know. I feel the same way about my girls, because they really are watching. And I remember, you know, leaving law school and getting into being a baby lawyer and just thinking, oh my God, how have I gotten here? And now I don't have a choice. And who am I, you know, like, it got to the point where I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to disappoint so many people, all these people, these expectations and all this stuff. And I don't ever want my girls to end up there. Like, or if they do, I don't want them to feel so much like shame and doubt and fear and like failure, because you want something different, or you want to go off the traditional path, right? Like, I just think there's so much power in showing our girls that it's okay. Like, it's okay to say, like, I think my life is going in this direction. And then maybe you get to the destination and you're like, well, that really, I'm going to pivot and I'm going to go over here because I feel passionate about this. And allowing that to be okay and teaching them how to do that in a healthy way. I think you can't put a price tag on that.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
So we have some viewers or listeners out there who may be in this in-between space of, I've worked for several firms, I've gotten some experience underneath my belt, I'm feeling like I know enough to be dangerous, maybe I can go out and do this on my own. What are some tips or advice that you would maybe give to them as they are making this decision and maybe this transition?
I would say some of the things that were the most helpful to me was that I had already, by virtue of one of my previous jobs where I had to network so much, I had already developed connections with other lawyers. And I knew that, you know, I didn't have the answer for everything, but I knew who had the answer for certain things. And so just, you know, building community is so crucial for success. I think at any, you know, stage, call it professional, personal, you know, what have you. But if somebody's thinking about going out on their own, building community and having those relationships, because again, you're not going to have the answer to so many things, but you can find it if you have community and you know who to ask. And, you know, those people want to see you succeed. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I reached out to colleagues who could think of me as a competitor and not give me advice that I needed, but they didn't. They helped me grow and they gave me tricks and the tips. And then, you know, what that did was inspire me to do the same for others. And so I think it's just give and take sort of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously I'm dying on the hill of community. That's, you know, my theme in life. You could like tattooed across my forehead, but it is true. And it's just illuminating what I always say is you're not going to know all the things. It's just absolutely impossible, especially as a new law firm owner. I mean, you're a beginner at this. Yes, you may have been practicing law for a number of years and you may be wickedly talented at IP or whatever, you know, your specialty is, but you haven't done that as a law firm owner. So in order to transition into that person, you're going to have to start asking a lot of questions and start asking for help and start putting yourselves in the spaces, in the rooms where the people know the answers and not being afraid to ask. Because just like you said, there are so many people, we have this untrue narrative in our minds as lawyers that if someone can view us as competition, that we just shouldn't ask. You know what I mean? Like the competition rules out all of the question asking. And that's not the case. 9 out of 10 times, another attorney wants to help you. Like it's no skin off their back. We've just told ourselves that it's a different way. And it's actually not that way. And just look how much faster you can grow when you're asking the right questions of the right people instead of just staying there stuck.
That's right. That's right. I 100% agree with that. And I guess the other piece of advice that that I already gave is basically consistency. You know, the whole, the subset of that is the, you know, having some sort of schedule. I'm not saying like you know, 9 to 5 every day. I mean, people are going to open their own operation for many reasons. One of them may be that they need, you know, they need a little more personal time, or they need to take Fridays off, or what have you. But to just kind of stick to some semblance of a schedule, I think helps. And, you know, inconsistency in other regards, you know, if left to my own devices, I sometimes just do marketing. And then I have to be like, oh my gosh, like I have to, you know, I have to focus on this case or what have you. But then same thing, like there are weeks that I'm like just head down working on, you know, working on emotion and talking to a client and witnesses and all that. And then I look and it's like, oh, you know, nobody's advocating for the law firm to get clients. And so just some consistency in as many aspects as you can of the business is helpful. And the thing about networking too is, you know, one thing that I need to give credit where credit is due, and we earlier talked about my husband, you know, the law firm has been very successful financially, and you know, it's my dream come true in so many aspects. You know, I think we have such a vibrant, positive work culture, and something that I never could have dreamed of, because in law school, that was in, you know, what you knew of like 10, 13 years ago. It was, you know, aggro, like serious, looking for perfection, and nobody makes mistakes, and unsustainable work hours, all of that. And we've, you know, created something that I'm so proud of. But besides network, I had the benefit of, I have no financial background whatsoever, but I have my husband who does, and I relied on him a lot. And, you know, I can't take credit for all the decisions that have been made or everything that's been behind the scenes. I give it to an expert and professionals like that. And if I didn't have him, the only credit I'll give myself is that I would have known that I don't know it and I need to seek an expert. And so I see, sadly, a lot of law firm or former law firm owners that have gone back to the workplace working for someone or have given up on their dreams because they're like, you know, you can't, you know, it's so hard, it's so competitive, it's cutthroat, like I can't find clients or like my books and like it's too much. And if they had just sought out, you know, someone's help and or hire a consultant, you know, you don't have to know it all, even though we think that we should, because, you know, we're lawyers, we're trained to just know it all. And we, you know, and in reality, it's okay to seek out the appropriate experts for things that you don't know. In my case, it was finances.
And in fact, that's a great business plan. Like seeking help and hiring out where you do not, you know what I mean? Where you do not know, like that needs to be part of your business plan, because otherwise, you know what I mean? You're in an area where that's not your zone of genius. You're not going to be able to perform well there, which is exactly what you said. I mean, that would be me in the finance area too. I would need to bring my husband in as plan B as well. I'd be like, this is not where I shine. I have a lot of gifts, but this is not where I shine. So I'm going to need to call in reinforcements.
That's right.
So before we let you go, tell me a little bit about your law firm, your mission, who you serve, and where you're going in 2024.
Well, we serve all injured victims in Texas. We do have a special focus in helping the Hispanic community and disadvantaged community. That's our passion. But, you know, we don't close the door to other people. We obviously represent and can represent everyone who's injured in, you know, trucking case, catastrophic injury, a car wreck, a dog bite, a premises incident, work injury. And we are, you know, we're a small firm at this stage. It's 5 lawyers. We do have virtual offices in South Texas. And we, like I mentioned, it's like 13 employees that we have take cases all over Texas. And we are wanting to about double in size, maybe not by 2024, but add a couple of people in 2024. You know, we think like slow and steady wins the race, and, you know, we never have supported massive growth and getting into debt and all that stuff. But we also don't want to grow, to a point where, to me, it's very important that I know every employee and that I know their names, and, you know, that we have this weekly meeting where we all join. And, the magic number in my mind is, if we get to about 10 lawyers, I'll be perfect. I think there's always going to be clients who need the type of service that we can offer, but we'll leave that for other people, you know, to help, and that, you know, we just want to get there, and hopefully in a couple of years we can.
Amazing. And it sounds like you've created a great office culture as well, a place where people really want to work and feel valued and seen. I love that you guys have a weekly meeting. I think creating culture within your firm is such a huge part of that, right? That's a huge part of growth when you get people on board for your mission. And you see and appreciate and value them in return and their skill set, and you let them shine and their gifts. That's how you see massive growth as a business.
I think so. I mean, like we were talking at the beginning, you know, the process of elimination, I had experiences that formed me as a lawyer, and I learned that it doesn't have to be that way. You can be an excellent law firm and you don't have to berate people. And, you know, you can have a celebratory culture where you, you know, where you give credit to the paralegals for resolving a case, and, you know, where mistakes, I mean, I tell, for example, I tell my lawyers, if you don't tell me about something, you know, if you make, you know, make a mistake and you don't tell me about it, that's going to be really, you know, that's where trouble starts. But you just have to come forward, and nobody's perfect. We're all human. We can solve it together. But I think, you know, expecting everyone to be perfect leads to, you know, people hiding things and depression and, you know, all those things that make for work not being sustainable. And that's where, you know, people leave your firm and you know, in massive numbers and you know, all the things that our industry is known for, you know, substance abuse and things like that. And, you know, part of the other aspect of our company culture that we really like is that we have, you know, have taken the time to like hand select the members of our team to make sure that, you know, we don't give them like psychological assessments or things like that, but we do make sure that we're all a good fit, because we have had people in the past that, you know, thrive on gossip and, you know, are just creating something that we just don't tolerate and nobody likes. I mean, we're here to work for clients and for ourselves and, you know, have a positive environment. And thankfully we can, you know, we can say that for the last couple of years, it's been that way. And, we just added a new lawyer, a female attorney, yay, because my three other guys are male lawyers. And I think it's more balanced now. I mean, they're amazing, but, it's also so much fun for me now to have another female, on the team. And so,
that's so good. I'm glad you're bringing in some more pink. Yay. Yes. Yay for the girls. Yay for the girls. Now you guys are almost even. So that's awesome. Well, anyone who wants to get in touch with Laura, we will drop all of her information in the show notes. But you know, I got to get a Legally Blonde moment from you before we totally sign off. So tell me something hilarious that has happened to you. Maybe not even lately, but just a fun, funny story.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if this is just funny to me, but when I was in law school and I was looking for a summer job, I went to this very prestigious aviation firm in town that many people may know. And I was interviewing and I was, you know, just so exciting, wearing my suit. And, you know, I was talking to one of the most senior attorneys and he was giving me a tour of the place. And I just couldn't believe I was there. I was going to get this gig. And they had, they used to have in their office filing cabinets, and on top of them, they had like collection, like I guess planes that are like models, collectibles. I don't even know what they're called, but you know, they were very expensive. Probably took someone like hours upon hours to put together, and they had, I mean, dozens of these. And you know, they're meant to be impressive because it's an aviation firm, and they have these things on sort of display as part of the tour as you're walking in their offices. And I just had no idea. And so I was like, oh my gosh, these are so cute. And I like grabbed one. And of course, later on, I did end up clerking there. And then I got to explain how inappropriate that was. But anyway, that's, you know, I just had no idea what that was. I just thought it was so cute. See, I still don't know what they're called. So there you go, Legally Blonde.
Oh my God, that's so good. Well, I wouldn't know what that is either. I mean, like, look at all these planes someone has put together. Isn't that just special that these are just so neat and in here? And they're probably like,
lady, you don't even know what the heck you're even talking about. These things have been whittled right. by one piece of beech wood. Like, you don't even know what these things have been through to get here. Oh my gosh. That's so great. We're kindred spirits. I knew it. I love it. Oh my gosh, Lord, this was such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate you
so much. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
All right, guys. See you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening into the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you catch your podcasts. If you loved this episode, I would be so honored if you left a review. And because I know you are the type of woman who wants to see other women win, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs it. By sharing it, you are empowering a fellow sister in the law to know that she is not alone, that there is nothing wrong with her, and that she can build a life and career that she loves. Thank you. See you next week. Hey, Powerhouse. As a dedicated listener to this podcast, I have curated a special place just for you. It's called the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook group. You can head on over to the show notes, click on the link, and join our community. This Facebook group is for listeners of the show, attorneys, no matter where you are in your practice. Maybe you're a law student, or maybe you're just someone fascinated by the legal profession. This Facebook group is for you. This is a community that is going to engage in discussions on episodes. You'll get special exclusives. There's valuable networking opportunities. I'll be providing some educational content. And above all, you'll get a strong, supportive community and support system. So click on the link in the show notes below to join the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook community, where community, knowledge, passion, and collaboration thrive. Again, head on over to the show notes to click on the link to join the Facebook group for the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Thanks so much. See you guys there.